You're listening to Red Nation Online.
Podcast interview series. My name is Steve Botcher, and today I have the pleasure of speaking with Nick Dasevich. Vancouver-born Nick Dasevich had an illustrious career as a midfielder playing in Canada, Croatia, Scotland, France, and Sweden. At the international level, he was capped 63 times by Canada. Following his playing days, Dasevich moved into the coaching ranks, having held positions with Toronto FC, the TFC Academy, the Vancouver Whitecaps, and the U20 and U23 Canadian men's national teams. It was recently announced that Nick will be inducted into the Canadian Soccer Hall of Fame as one of the 2011 inductees. In this interview, Nick and I discuss his induction into the Canadian Soccer Hall of Fame, his playing career for both club and country, how the environment has changed for Canadian soccer players since his playing days, his time as both an assistant coach and head coach with Toronto FC, and his thoughts on the current state of soccer in Canada. And now, Nick Dasevich. Nick, you had an exceptional career as a player and represented Canada 63 times at the international level. In many ways, you're the most well-known name being inducted into the Canadian Soccer Hall of Fame this year. What does the honor mean to you at this point in your career?
You never think you're going to retire, but, you know, it happened a few years ago for me now, and, you know, it's something you don't think about, and, you know, the call came out of nowhere and said, look, you've been accepted, and as a, you know, it's a great honor to be involved in the Hall of Fame. You know, you look down some of the players that are on it. So it's an honor to be, you know, privileged to be amongst those sort of players. You know, it you sit back and reflect, and you know what kind of career you had. And you know, mine was a career of many moves and many countries and you know many different experiences. So it's just kind of a tip of the iceberg, and I'm really happy to be part of it.
You're being inducted in the player category. What is your fondest memory from your playing career?
I thought about it. It's a tough one, you know. I mean, obviously, the national team thing, you know, and it's not just a cliche, but, you know, any time I got to put on my jersey with the Canadian flag on it was a huge honor. You know, I grew up wanting to play for Canada. You know, I remember vividly watching the 86 World Cup and, you know, wanting to be part of that. And, you know, and then obviously the sort of the playing career part of it. You know, I've spent most of my years in Europe because just the fact that there wasn't a lot of options in the beginning playing in Canada, whatever. So, you know, and fondest memories I have there, but just probably bringing back to Scotland. I had a great time there, great 6 years. Enjoyed my time, you know, played some big matches, got to be involved in the UEFA Cups and, you know, League Cup finals and, you know, that those sort of things. So it was, I would say the Scottish thing was a great experience for me.
You kind of touched on this, but how different was the era in which you played compared to the one that young Canadian players are making their ways in today?
Yeah, I think, you know, there were a few guys out and abroad at that time, which is guys like, you know, Craig Forrest went at an early age, and I think Paul Peschlito went as well, and there's a few other ones, Alex Bumbries, et cetera. But, you know, kind of when I went, there wasn't really a lot of talk about agents, and, you know, there wasn't the day of the video and the YouTube and the rest of it. So it was more or less word of mouth and having to make your own sacrifice and basically doing your own phone calls and trying to, you know, find a list of contacts and basically, you know, purchase tickets and fly out and go on trials and go that route. So it wasn't a home run by any means. It was a very difficult road, and, you know, I would spend months on the phone talking to people in Europe, and then finally when the time's right, you know, you always had to be ready to go at the drop of a hat. So, you know, then again, do your own workouts and keep yourself fit, you know, amongst playing for local leagues. So it was a hard time. So when I look back at what I did to get to where I was, and it makes it that much more rewarding of, you know, what I actually got to.
You've been described as one of the best midfielders that Canada has ever produced. And you talked about watching that 86 World Cup team and being inspired by it. Who are some of the Canadian players that you've admired over the course of your career?
I mean, I was fortunate enough to, you know, that 86 team, there was a few guys left over per se. When I finally got my caps in the early 90s, so the 94 World Cup qualifying campaign, you know, guys like Dale Mitchell and Mike Sweeney and Carl Valentine and, you know, Paul Dolan, those kind of guys that were part of that that team, even Randy Samuel, those guys that were, to me, you know, again, those just happened to more or less be local guys as well. You know, got to train with them up at the high performance centers we had here and got to meet them individually, see what, not just what great players, but what great people they were. And, you know, I've got contact with those guys, and even today I speak to those guys on pretty much a regular basis. So, you know, there's also friendship there. But, you know, just to see with those guys, to be able to play on the biggest, you know, tournament in the world was a great thing. And but again, they just spoke of it very humbly. They weren't, you know, they weren't arrogant about it, just, you know, how much hard work it took. And it was just, like I said, it was great being around those guys and learning from them.
How do you think the great Canadian players from your playing days compare to those that are wearing the Canadian national team kit today?
It's a tough one. You know, I think today's, in general, the footballers are far more, you know, they're further advanced in terms of their athleticism and their just you know, the way they go about playing the game is at a higher pace. You know, if you look back, I mean, I grew up watching the Whitecaps, the old NASL days in the 70s and early 80s, and it was slow. It was slowish football. It wasn't slow, but it was a little differently played. You know, you watch now and it's a lot higher tempo, and you know, and then saying that, watching those players play back in the 70s, there were some quality players playing in this league. At the highest standard, you know, going from your Pelés to your Cruyffs to your Beckenbauers, etc., that you got to watch on a regular basis. And it was, that to me was probably my biggest learning tool, was just going to watch those Whitecap games back in the 70s and 80s and seeing the kind of talent that was on show and learning from it.
You played in both Europe and in Canada, and I would guess you've built a pretty large network with key football people in both Europe and Canada. Who are some of the biggest influences on your career?
That's a tough one. I mean, influences, you know, again, growing up, just influences watching players, you know, I would say just from a fact of non-contact, just watching them, I would say one of the guys that I just wanted to play like and emulate was someone like Ruud Krol, who was a Dutch international that came to Vancouver for a year, and I think in 78 or something, and just watching him play and the way he conducted himself on the football pitch and his thought patterns that he would, you could see him thinking two or three steps ahead of the other players that were around him, and that was the kind of thing I try to pick up as a player when I watch games. But the one thing, again, growing up in the community I did in a way, that there weren't a lot of role models or people that helped you along the way. It was really much, you got to find your own way around it. You know, then once I got to Europe, then, you know, that was a different state. You would then basically try to learn from your peers, more or less. And then I would say the second biggest thing would be when I got to play Dinamo Zagreb, which was at that time in the Yugoslavian First Division, just prior to the war they had. You know, I got to play in a team with Galik Zvonimir Boban, who's a great World Cup star and played for AC Milan, and Davor Šuker. So I got to be in the dressing room with them, I got to train with them, got to play with them, and then just to learn from some of the best players in the world was a huge, huge impact on my career.
You've been involved in Canadian soccer as a player, as a coach, and with the Canadian national team in both playing and coaching capacities. How do you see the future of Canadian soccer, specifically with respect to, you know, the growth and you know, more interest that we've seen over the last few years?
Yeah, I think it's great. I mean, you look at, obviously, Montreal's coming in next year. We've got Vancouver and Toronto in the MLS. Obviously, everybody wants to have 10, 12 teams in the Canadian soccer, in Canada playing in MLS, which isn't going to happen. We just don't have those markets here. But I think it's right that we've got the three biggest markets in Canada playing in the, will be playing in the biggest league in North America. And then hopefully there might be some secondary clubs, and we already have a few, but hopefully we get more secondary clubs, maybe having some kind of a second division or whatever you want to call it, where our younger players can sort of get their feet wet. But, you know, that takes money, takes time, but, you know, I think a lot has to do with hopefully our World Cup team has a great World Cup sort of qualifying campaign and we can get there. It's going to be a tough one, but I think, you know, things are going well with Steven and his group. They've had some great results. They've had some decent performances. And I hope they have, a good Gold Cup, but I think more importantly they have a great start to their qualifying campaign. And if they get it right there, hopefully a little bit more money comes in the country, and then hopefully we can get some things organized here. But I'm hoping that it's going the right direction. And like I said, there's I'm excited about it, and like I said, I would love to see the Canada grow in even bigger, not so much in the amateur status, because we do have a great numbers of players playing in the amateur level, but hopefully at the professional level.
You're a Vancouver native. How excited are you about all the exciting things happening in BC with respect to the Whitecaps and the major events in women's soccer that will be held in Vancouver over the next few years?
Yeah, I think in general, Vancouver has always had a very good following. And you can see, you know, even when they moved into Swangard Stadium and they became the 86ers and they moved on to become the Whitecaps there, they always got their 4,000 to 6,000, sometimes a little bit more. But, you know, you look at it now, the people were waiting for something big to come, and it did. And the Whitecaps have gone to MLS and moved it back to the Empire. And, you know, they're getting 20,000 people regularly. And I was a little bit, you know, almost afraid of the fact that it was still going to be a quietish crowd. It was going to be, you know, people pretty much sit down and relax. But the people have been very vocal, and they've been very animated. They've been into the games, and it's been great to see, you know. And then, obviously, the Women's World Cup, we've got some great women's players out in the West Coast, and we've got a very strong Metro League here where the women compete. And, you know, I know everybody here, especially on the women's side, are very excited about having the Olympics qualifiers here.
You played for 6 years in Scotland with St. Johnstone. What are your favorite memories from playing for one of the storied clubs in Scottish football?
Yeah, you know, I've just met a bunch of the guys about 2 months ago. I was back in Scotland, and it's just the camaraderie we had. We had a great group of players. We weren't like by any means a great sort of, we didn't have the most talented players by any means, because you got Rangers and Celtic, but and then Hearts and Hibs, the bigger teams. But we had such a great camaraderie amongst the players, a great just atmosphere, and that's what I remember. But you know, we had 1 year where we finished in third place in the Premiership, which is like winning a cup, really, or winning the league, because no one's going to pip out Celtic or Rangers. That's how it just goes in that league. But you know, we had a few really good years there at the club, and I just got great memories. I've been back and forth, and am still well respected and well remembered there. And it's nice to go back to a city where people hold you in high esteem because of what you've given the city and that. So it's always a pleasure to go back to Scotland.
Do you still follow the comings and goings of football in Scotland? And what do you think about the current state of the Scottish Premier League?
Yeah, I do follow. I'm taking my UEFA Pro license, so I've not yet finished my. It's going to take another year or so. So I'm back there pretty much once every 2 or 3 months, and I get a chance to go and see the teams play. I don't know so much about the state of it. I know it's a tough one right now in terms of how things are going there. I know there's the money issues with some of the bigger football clubs, just all around in general, so it's difficult to entice the bigger players in terms of what they've done in the past. But I know one thing is, when you don't have the big money to entice the bigger players from out different parts of Europe, then you grow your game domestically, which means that more and more Scottish kids are going to get a chance to play at the top level, which is great. So hopefully that in turn will make it easier for the national team manager to pick a good Scottish team, and then even for the younger kids to develop.
Many of the younger Canadian soccer fans will be most familiar with you from your time as both an assistant coach and head coach with Toronto FC. You're still a young coach, and I'm wondering what are some of the things that you've taken from your time with TFC that you think might make you an even better coach with the next team that you join?
Yeah, it was 3 years, and a great 3 years. I really enjoyed my time at Toronto. Unfortunately, everything comes to an end, and but, you know, you try to find out what, you know, I work under three very, very different managers, John Carver, Chris Cummins, and Preki, and all three had their very strong attributes. And, you know, I think the biggest thing I learned from particularly a few of them was the fact that just attention to detail, you know, which is completely, you need to be prepared and need to, you know, people think that coaching is just basically you come out there and you coach and you go home, but you know, I learned very quickly through particularly John Carver in the beginning that, you know, it's a 9-to-5 job. Even in more than that, it's 24 hours really, but, you know, you've got to consistently be on your game, consistently be scouting, consistently be preparing stuff, you know, consistently make sure the clubs run the right way you want it to run, and the standards are set the way you want to. So it's a tough job, but it's one that I did enjoy. But yeah, I did learn a lot from the managers I worked for. And then, and even working alongside the academy staff, so it was a great experience for me. And yeah, I did learn a lot. I did grow up a lot, and hopefully, it'll make me better for the next time, if I do get a chance.
During your time at the helm of TFC, you were quoted as saying that a few players showed a lack of character down the stretch for Toronto in 2010, and that character is something that you put a premium on. Do you think character is the quality that sets average players apart from very good or great players?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I thought about that quote later on, and, you know, I think, again, you learn certain things of what to and what not to do, what to say in the papers. And I think Mourinho's a perfectionist at it, and, you know, when you want to learn from the best, just listen to him do interviews and that. And I think it was maybe the wrong time to do that, you know, and when I look back at it, I think that comment came after a loss, which basically was my first game in charge. But as you think about all the turmoil that happened before that, you know, within 24 hours, we changed the coach, had a new coach, we were on a flight to Salt Lake, we were playing the, basically to me, I'd still say the best team in MLS, and et cetera, et cetera. And I think I questioned the players at the wrong time. And but, you know, I still do really believe that the character is a huge attribute that you know, you're I almost born with it, you know, bred with it. It's how you've grown up with it. And you know, when people say that, you know, character wins you championships, you know, that chemistry with character players, it's not always a skill. You know, it's the guys that go to work every day. You know, the worst part is having to motivate a player to come to work on a Monday and tie up his laces. Well, if you've got to motivate a player to do that, then that player doesn't belong where he is. Or how he got there, I don't know. There's obviously some kind of flawed system. But to me, when you go to work, the last thing you need to do is motivate a player to be there. You know he's going to work hard. And, you know, things don't always go well for players and coaches, you know, and you've got to roll with the bounces and punches, and you've got to, you know, understand that sometimes you've got to pick yourself up, and you're not going to have good days all the time, but you need to be aware that every day has got to be your best day.
You were on the soccer show with Nigel Reid and Bob Arushi recently, and you mentioned that the only plans you currently have are to finish your UEFA Pro license. You also pointed out that there aren't that many coaching jobs in Canada, and that you wouldn't rule out a coaching position in another country. If the right position were to become available, would it still be your preference to continue your coaching career in Canada?
Yeah, it'd be great. You know, family's here. It'd be great to stay in Canada, but you know, if you rewind my career again, I grew up in Vancouver, and I couldn't get a playing job here. You know, I was released by the national under 20 team. I got released by the Edmonton Brickmen of the CSL. Got released by the Whitecaps, or the 86ers back then. And you know, it was one of those where maybe it wasn't the time for me. So I got my bags, packed my bags, and went to Europe, and ended up staying out there for the better part of 12 years. So. You know, if that comes again and I've got to pack my bags and go, then it might be something I need to look at, because I still like to coach, I still like to learn a lot and be involved in the game. So, you know, we'll see. But, yeah, I'd never rule out either one, whether it's Canadian football or going across the pond, as they say.
You've mentioned previously some of the legendary football people you've met via your travels and your UEFA licensing courses. I recently came across an article that mentioned that when you were taking your UEFA B license, your class included Jose Mourinho. He's obviously has a larger-than-life media persona. I'm wondering what it was like taking a class with him.
You know, it was really interesting, because when we had, that was the largest group of B license candidates we had, because I guess at that time Sky Sports lost their funding or whatever, so the football money was dropping out. So all the players panicked, and they all started going into coaching at the time, and we had 44, but we split it up into four groups, and in my group was Jose Mourinho, who I didn't know him at the time. At the time, he was, I think, a second assistant at Barcelona. And so because of foreign guys, I kind of always hung out with the foreign coaches, because I can speak a few languages. I ended up being with Jose a lot. And he's just a class guy. Even then, he wasn't a big-time coach, but he was learning a lot through his times with Robson. At the time, he was with Van Gaal. But I can vividly remember doing a karaoke with him on a night out at Little La Bamba with him. But he was just a really down-to-earth guy. And, you know, a quick story, there was a guy on the course that was really struggling with his on-field practical things he was doing. And Jose stayed up with him one night till 3 in the morning, walking him through it and talking him through it. And he didn't have to, but he wanted to help this guy. And it just showed how humble and how down-to-earth Jose could be as well, you know, although now he comes across as, you know, very kind of an arrogant and person. But I think you have to be like that in order to coach the highest level.
I have one final question for you. You've already touched on the national team, and you know, as mentioned, you are a longtime Canadian international. What do you think of the state of the Canadian national team currently, and in particular the challenges the team will face in the coming months with the Gold Cup and World Cup qualifying?
Yeah, I mean, I was involved directly with the first team as well. As a coach and a player. Yeah, I know full well how difficult of a job it is for Steven and his staff right now. The good thing is Steven's got a lot of experience in the CONCACAF area. He understands, and it seems to me that from watching the team play, and that he's got the boys playing for him, which is really important. The boys all respect him; they want to play for him. I think he'd like to have a larger group of players to choose from. You know, it's always come down to we don't have the biggest number of players, and a lot of times our better players are in Europe and they're not really playing; they're not getting a lot of minutes. There's a handful, but not as many as we would like. I think it's a really important time for the CSA now, for the first team, that we get some success, and it's not going to come easy. We all know that, but we're all rooting for Steven and the group, and I'm hoping the boys do well in the Gold Cup. And it doesn't matter whether they win it or what place, as long as they have some good performances, they can take that into the qualifying at the end of the year, and hopefully just build upon that and make a great run for the possibility of going to the World Cup.